Oh, that I had a thousand voices to praise my God with thousand tongues. My heart within the Lord rejoices. Who then proclaim in grateful songs to all wherever I may be, what great things God hath done for me. Dear Father, endless praise I render for bodies and bodies strangely joined. I praise thee, guardian kind and tender, for all the noblest joys I find, so richly spread on every side, and freely for my use supplied. I praise thee, Savior, whose compassion did bring thee down to ransom me. Thy pitying heart sought my salvation. Your keenest woes were heaped on thee, brought me from bondage full release, made me thine own and gave me peace. Glory and praise still onward reaching, be thine, O Spirit of all grace, whose holy power and faithful teaching give me among thy saints a place, whate'er of good by me is done, is wrought by grace divine alone. Shall I not then be filled with gladness? Shall I not praise thee evermore and triumph over fear and sadness? Even when my cup of woe runs o'er, though heaven and earth shall pass away, thy loving kindness stands forever.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who makest the minds of the faithful to be of one will, grant unto thy people that they may love what thou commandest and desire what thou dost promise, that among the manifold changes of this world, our hearts may there be fixed where true joys are to be found, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Today's lesson is written in the 12th chapter of Isaiah the prophet. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Here endeth the lesson. The epistle is written in the epistle of James, chapter 1. St. James writes, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Here endeth the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hymn number 231. We now implore God the Holy Ghost for the true faith which we need the most, that in our last moments he may befriend us, and as homeward we journey attend us. Lord, have mercy. Shine in our hearts, O most precious light, that we, Jesus Christ, may know aright. Clinging to our Savior, whose blood hath bought us, who again to our homeland hath brought us. Lord, have mercy. Sacred love, grace on us bestow. Set our hearts with heavenly fire aglow, that with hearts united we love each other, of one mind in peace with every brother. Lord, have mercy. Thou highest comfort in every need, grant that neither shame nor death we need, that even our courage may never fail us, when the foe shall accuse and assail us. Lord, have mercy. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our gospel lesson for today begins with Jesus saying this: "But now I go my way to him that sent me." And again, this reminds us of last Sunday's gospel, where Jesus said, "A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." All right? So when Jesus here in today's gospel says, "Now I go my way to him that sent me," all right, what he is saying to us is that he will accomplish all that the Father sent him into the world to do. That is, all of his obedience to God's law on behalf of law-breaking sinners, all of his teaching, all of his miracles, which were signs pointing to his word and to his person, and including his rejection by the elders, his suffering, crucifixion, and death as the once and for all redeeming, atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and then his burial and his resurrection from the dead on the third day, and then finally his ascension to heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So when Jesus begins this gospel lesson for today, he means all of that stuff encapsulated in that brief little word, "Now I go my way to him that sent me." All right? He's not just saying, "Well, it's been nice knowing you guys. I'll be going home now. See you around." All right? That's not what he's saying. He's saying that everything for which he came into the world will have been accomplished, and therefore his going to the Father is a great victory, and it is a great accomplishment. So he says, "None of you is asking me, 'Whither goest thou?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow hath filled your hearts." In other words, he's saying, "I understand that your hearts are filled with sorrow. I understand that this time is not a pleasant one for you." But he says, you have to stop thinking of things in an earthly way. And you need to think of these things the way that God intends you to think. And to see in all of this, however difficult it may be when you're going through it, to see the hand and counsel of God for the redemption of the world. You should not be sorrowful, but you should be glad that I go to my Father. He says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." You could also translate this as, "It is advantageous for you that I go away," or "It is beneficial for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter, the Greek word is paraclete. And the Comforter is the one who is sent to stand alongside of you in your troubles and tribulations, to uphold you, to encourage you, and to speak up for you. All right? And the Comforter, if I don't go away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. All right, what does this mean? Well, Jesus, with his going away, he has once and for all paid the full atoning sacrifice for the sins of all men. And by his resurrection from the dead, that offering and that sacrifice is vindicated and publicly proclaimed as effectual. Therefore, the door is open for the Spirit of God to come into the world to do his work on the hearts of all people. All right? That is the day of grace and the day of salvation has come. No longer is the kingdom of God limited to Jesus and his 12 disciples making their way up and down the land of Israel in a very limited time and space, but now Jesus and all of his gracious work on our behalf is now universally proclaimed, offered, given, and enjoyed by Christians through the Spirit of the living God. So it's really wonderful news for us that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, has come. Jesus is not gone, and we are not left in the world as orphans with no one to care for us and no one to be with us, but God is ever present with us. His gifts, his grace, his saving power and mercy are always at work among us by means of the word and the sacrament. Now, Jesus talks about the work of the Holy Spirit upon two different groups of people. On the one hand, he says, when he has come, he will reprove or convict the world. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So, with respect to the world, the Holy Spirit will do a certain work, and that work is called to convict. That is to show a person the error of their way, to make a person realize that they are in the wrong. And he says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Right? We are guilty. The world is guilty of many, many different kinds of sin. But the chiefest of all sins is the sin of unbelief. And the Holy Ghost's work in the world is to convict the world of the sinfulness of its refusal to believe in Jesus. Because since the world refuses to believe in Jesus, the world remains in all of its sins without the forgiveness that Christ has purchased and won for all people. And so the first convicting work of the Holy Ghost is to convict the world of the sin of unbelief. The second conviction that the world, that the Spirit will work upon the world is to convict the world of righteousness. Every plan of salvation that human beings manufacture on their own is in some way, shape, or form a scheme of works righteousness. All right? The way that man seems to be wired in his fallenness is to think that if I do certain things, especially if I need something from God, if I do certain activities, God will see what I have done and he will be moved by my works to be gracious to me. This is works righteousness, that I will offer my good works to God. God will appreciate them, and he will shower me with what I have desired and asked from him. All right? This is the world's righteousness. The problem with this kind of righteousness is that Isaiah the prophet says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. God is never impressed with your works. Even among Christians, God is pleased with our works only because the forgiveness of sins covers what is amiss in them. We do not offer our works to God in order that he may be impressed with them and that therefore we will get from him what we want, because when we operate in that way, we are offering filthy rags to God. And so the Holy Spirit wants to convict the world of righteousness. That is, that the world's righteousness is utterly ineffectual, and it accomplishes exactly the opposite with God of what the world intends it. The only righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, and that's why he says, because I go to the Father. Our righteousness is in Christ, who paid for our sins and is now seated at the right hand of God. The third thing he convicts the world of is judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Okay, so you are convicted of sin because you are in unbelief. You are convicted of false righteousness because the only righteousness that avails with God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now you are convicted that because you are in sin without righteousness before God, you are liable to judgment, just as the prince of this world, the devil, is judged. All right, now, how does the Holy Spirit exactly go about convicting the world of these things? It happens through the public preaching of the Holy Christian Church. As Christians, take the word of God and publish it in the world. That word preached by the Church of Christ, Church of the Living God, that word is the means by which the Holy Spirit convicts the world. Now, what is the aim of the Spirit in convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? His meaning and purpose is to work repentance in the heart of sinners, to prepare them to hear the sweet forgiveness of sins proclaimed, offered, and delivered in the gospel and in the sacraments of Christ. All right? God always desires that the sinner repent of his sins and believe and be saved. And so the Spirit, using the word of God that is preached publicly by the Holy Christian Church, he convicts the world so that they will see their sins, be sorry for their sins, and when they hear the gospel, they will rejoice that a way has been opened up, not by any righteousness of my own, but by the righteousness of Christ. I stand before God acquitted and accepted. So that's the work of the Spirit upon the world. But the Spirit also is working in you, the Christian believer. Jesus says in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All right, so you have come to know the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, by means of the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, he inspired the apostles so that by his activity, they would commit to writing the New Testament, the word of the gospel, as we see it from Matthew to Revelation. All of this was given by inspiration of the Spirit of God, so that the apostles and the writers of the New Testament, they were blessed by the Holy Spirit to communicate the infallible, inerrant word of truth to us. And now, through that word of the gospel, through that New Testament word, you and I are blessed by the Spirit, and we are guided by the written word of the truth of the New Testament and of the Old Testament as well, into all truth. Jesus says in verse 26 of chapter 14, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So, we have come to know the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit has been sent into the world. He has inspired the writers of the New Testament, and he guides us and leads us and brings to our remembrance the truth of Christ, so that we have this anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things that are necessary to know to be saved and to serve God in the spirit of the gospel. So, he has come to guide us into all truth. He has come to testify to Jesus and thereby to keep us Christ-centered Christians. And one of the saddest things for a pastor is to see people who profess to be Christians, but they're not really Christ-centered. Their lives are not really focused around Jesus and his gracious saving work in our lives. Rather, their lives are focused on what we must do in order to please God, what we must do in order to show God that we mean business. And so it's all about me and how I live the victorious Christian life in the world and all that kind of stuff. And yet they get very impatient and they get bored whenever you start talking about Jesus and redemption and salvation and the gospel and all the promises of God. And they quickly get bored with that and they say, "Oh, don't tell us about that stuff anymore. Tell us what we need to do to live a useful, victorious life in this world." In other words, tell us man's religion, because we don't want to focus on Jesus. But that only shows how devoid of the Holy Ghost they are. Because when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he does not bear witness to himself, but it says, "He shall glorify me," Jesus says, "for he shall receive of mine and show it to you." So the Spirit's work is to take what's Jesus's and show it and offer it and deliver it to you by means of the gospel, by means of baptism, by means of the Lord's Supper, by means of holy absolution. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus wills that we be and remain Christ-centered Christians. Yes, we want to do good works. Yes, we want to live a godly life in this world, but we want to always do so centered in the gracious gospel and love of God in Christ, lest by any means we fall into the trap of thinking that God is impressed with us and our good intentions and our so-called good works, which in his eyes are filthy rags. And so it's a wonderful thing today that we learn that the Holy Spirit has come into the world, and through the preaching of the Holy Christian Church in the world, the Holy Spirit of God is at work convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, that sinners may repent and grab hold of the wonderful gospel that is offered to them once they realize that they are sinners and that they cannot save themselves. And we rejoice also because the Spirit of God is the one who has enabled us to know the truth, to rest our souls in the truth, to be at peace with God through the promises of God and the accomplished work of Christ Jesus. And so we rest today, not in our works, not in our good intentions, but in the work of Christ. He went his way to him who sent me. He has fully accomplished our redemption and salvation, and he has sent the Spirit of God into the world to bring people to faith through the preaching of the word and to comfort Christians in the knowledge of the sweet gospel of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did send thy Son into the world not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, and who didst raise up by thy glory when he had offered the one sacrifice for sins forever. Grant us a sure faith in him, that we may possess the sure expectation of eternal life. For the multitude of thy mercies, we thank thee and pray that we may be ever mindful that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from thee. Teach us that thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear thee, and that there is no variableness nor shadow of turning in all thy kindness and compassion, for thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank thee, O Father of lights, for the revelation of thy divine truth in Jesus Christ. Grant that all who are of the truth may come to him. Pour out upon us thy Spirit, that he may, through the engrafted word, guide us into all truth by making known the mysteries of thy gracious holy will, thine unchangeable purpose for the raising of fallen men, and the pure and perfect doctrines that pertain to our eternal salvation. We thank thee for the gift of thy church, the fellowship of the saints. Keep it in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Give it steadfast obedience to thy commandments. Preserve it in union with Jesus Christ in the true faith, and continue it in conformity with the inspired teaching of the apostles. Shower thy blessings upon it everywhere. Protect it from all its enemies. Prosper it in all its labors. For the gift of the home, we give thee thanks. Let thy Spirit dwell in each house, that love and tranquility, joy and consolation, strength and virtue may reign in undiminished glory. For the gift of our noble and pleasant land, accept our thanks, O God. Stretch forth thy holy arm to defend it inwardly and outwardly from all who would bring it shame and reproach by reason of sin, from all who would overthrow it by strife and rebellion, and from all who would assault and destroy it by war. Especially we pray for thy mercy and help in this present affliction that we continue to endure. For the gifts of our daily bread, and for all things needful for the wants and support of this present life, we thank thee. And we pray for those who are afflicted with the coronavirus and all other of the troubles, trials, and afflictions of life, that your mercy, your grace, and your help would be manifested in their life to their healing and restoration. We pray for those who have lost friends and loved ones to this plague, and we pray that they would find comfort in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the hope of everlasting life. And we pray, Heavenly Father, though we thank you for this technological gift that has enabled us to gather together online, we nevertheless pray for a swift return to our proper public worship. Grant this in the name of Jesus Christ. O Lord, glorious in thy salvation, help us now and always to receive thy gifts with gratitude. Hear our prayers. Grant us thy graces. And finally, receive us into everlasting communion with thee and with thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. 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 Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Good to see all of you today. I've been so busy doing everything, I haven't looked to see who's with us today. All right. Good to see all of you coming to hear God's word and to be comforted in the gospel and to be encouraged, even though we continue to be under house arrest.
House arrest.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill.
God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And God grace, by God's grace, we'll all be together next Sunday again, same time, same bat channel. So,